ladies, puberty, PMT, pregnancy, the menopause. Yes, your hormones have been taking you for a ride for years. Hot flushes on the bus, menopausal meltdowns in the office, whatever those hormones have made you do, Jenny Smith and Kate Bouse are here to lend a sympathetic ear. Why not write in and share your hormonal hell with the girls? Don't worry, they've heard it all before. It's time to put those hormones in the firing line. This is Dear Hormones. Welcome to your safe space, ladies. Coming up on today's show, a mishap on the dance floor, piano practice misery, and a menopausal showdown in the pharmacy.
Hello and welcome back to Dear Hormones. Hi, Kate.
Hello.
We're actually on time this week. Kate actually turned up on time today.
That's unusual.
Last week it was only half an hour late, so that's not too bad, but...
Bang on time, eh? I was even 2 minutes early this week.
Bang on time. Sitting
Never
down
happens.
Ready for me, practically. Mm. Kate, I'm going to crack on straight away.
All right.
Let's read our first letter. What have you got for us?
First letter comes to us from Claire. She's in Surrey.
Hi, Claire.
Dear Jenny and Kate, I don't like wearing bras. I never have. I have been expertly fitted, and that's in inverted commas, on many occasions, but even the experts are seemingly unable to help me. Bras are uncomfortable, pulling my back in unnatural directions that leave me aching for days. As a younger woman, I stuck it out, and every day I would don one of my 20 or so expertly fitted bras and head into work, only to breathe a massive sigh of relief when I walked through the door at the end of the day and was able to immediately free my breasts and my back from their instrument of torture right there on the doormat.
I know that feeling, do you?
I know that feeling. I've got to say, Claire, I am with you. I'm really not a fan of bras, never have been. If I can go without one, I will. You didn't need to know that. In later years, however, I have decided my comfort is more important. And so I've taken to a braless existence. And it's heaven.
Ooh.
It's heaven. This is what we need to do.
I wonder if she's got big boobs or small boobs, though.
I don't know whether to see if
okay,
she says.
Okay, carry on.
I just slip a couple of circular foam pads that I've extracted from an old swimsuit into my vest to avoid looking too nipply. And away I go.
Hang on. Stop right there. Stop right there. If I did that, how are they staying in? She's bigger.
Quite...
I think it's a tight vest. It's a tight vest she's got. And I think she's probably quite big. That's where I'm going with that.
Must be quite a tight vest, I would think. But yeah, great.
Wow.
I'm just very happy that...
I know the nipply thing. You definitely want to keep those covered up, don't you?
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
I've known ladies who haven't always in like school I used to teach in the headmistress.
Oh no!
There was quite a hippie.
What, the headmistress did it?
The headmistress, she was quite a hippie lady. She was amazing, but they were pretty on display.
Do you think the kids noticed?
I'm fairly sure. I mean, I think everyone noticed. Anyway, that's an aside. Let's carry on. The only exception to this rule is a night out, when I still like to preserve the appearance of having some sort of shapeliness to my figure. On these occasions, I delve into the recesses of my cupboards and pull out a push-up bra.
Ooh.
It might make me squirm with discomfort, but it makes me look hot. Good for you, Claire.
Go for it, Claire.
Recently, my perimenopause has been kicking in. For me, the key symptom is forgetfulness. Oh. I'm so scatty. I constantly forget to do things, and in fact, I now write myself to-do lists all the time and check them several times a day, which does help a bit.
I do that all the time.
Do you?
Yeah, I have to have a list on the go.
I might have to start doing the same.
Yeah.
I haven't yet, but yeah. But there are occasions when a list doesn't help, such as on a particular night out I had on holiday this summer. It was my parents' golden wedding anniversary, and they had forked out on a fancy all-inclusive holiday for the extended family. Thanks, Mum and Dad.
Wow.
It was the first evening, and my own family and I had, for various reasons, arrived a little late at the hotel.
Are you sure this person isn't you, Kate? Yeah, you're saying about turning up late, turning up late, don't like wearing a bra.
So getting ready for dinner was a slightly rushed affair. I threw a rather lovely dress over the vest I was wearing, but forgot all about a bra. You would think that the thought would have occurred to me over our meal that I wasn't wearing a bra, since bras equal discomfort and I wasn't experiencing any. But what with the whirlwind of greeting my mum, dad, brother and sister and all of my nephews and nieces, I didn't think about it at all. And before I knew it, our whole group was on the dance floor, grooving away to a crazy 80s mix of music. I was feeling super proud of my own children. My teenage daughters were engaged in some wild synchronised moves that showed the world they knew that fun mattered more than being cool, whilst my son was doing the caterpillar right across the dance floor.
You've got a really cool family,
Claire.
I want to hang out with you guys.
Oh, I must make them proud and not let the side down, I thought to myself. When Katrina and the Waves started singing Walking on Sunshine, I discovered that a fast-paced bounce... I discovered that a fast-paced bounce with my fists simultaneously pounding on top of each other in time to the music.
What, like one potato, two potatoes?
I think so.
I'm walking on sunshine.
I'm going to try that one.
Okay.
She discovered that this worked. Hang on, I'm going to read that again. I discovered that a fast-paced bounce with my fists simultaneously pounding on top of each other in time to the music worked fabulously. And before long, the whole extended family was joining in and copying me in a big family circle.
All doing the one potato, two potato, bouncing up and down.
Well done, you. Oh, I felt totally elated, up on cloud nine. Sadly, my foam breast pads weren't prepared to stay up there with me.
Oh, no.
All of a sudden, oh, no. My son was shaking my arm. I ignored him as I continued to bounce happily around. By the time the chorus was over and I was ready to lend my son an ear, I think pretty much the whole family had noticed what he had. Yes, two scruffy foam breast pads
from an old swimming costume
on the floor in the middle of the family circle. Once I danced with my friends around our handbags. Now I dance with my family around my breast pads. Something has gone very wrong.
Oh my God, Claire, that is so funny. Thank you so much for writing. First of all, I want to hang out with your family. Can you please let me know the next time you're going on holiday? Number two, I also hate wearing bras, but I do always wear them out in public. I wear one every day. But the second I get home, the bra's off. It's a lovely feeling, isn't it, Kate?
On the doormat as
the
well.
The freedom.
Do you know, I don't wear one every day, but possibly a little bit more often than Claire does.
I don't think I knew that about you, Kate.
I don't like them.
Not every day. What, you mean you go out without a bra on?
But I, unlike Claire, I've not ever been and had one expertly fitted. So maybe I should. Although it hasn't helped Claire, so...
No, but it's definitely worth doing. It's definitely worth doing. Because can I just, as we're talking bras, I have got the most comfortable Triumph bra. Is that like an old lady brand?
That's I know that brand. Yeah, my mum used to.
Exactly. Sorry. Exactly. I am that age now where I'm actually going and shopping in the Triumph section. It's the most comfortable bra I've ever worn. It's the one I want to put on every time. I've got it on now, Kate.
Have you?
Yeah, I'll show you a little.
I did notice the straps earlier, actually.
Did you?
Nice.
It's only flesh coloured. There's nothing like fancy about it, but it's so, so comfortable. Anyway, that's it. Triumph, okay. Triumph bra advert over.
Well, thanks for the tip.
I love that story so much. I love the fact that her son was trying to get her attention. She was having too much of a wild time doing the one potato, two potato. Also, that's an interesting dance move. Maybe we should do that for the Instagram page. Let's try and recreate Claire's dance move for the Instagram. I know. That's what we could film for the Instagram page. We both get some bra pads, right?
Yes.
And we do the jumping up and down, one potato, two potato, and see how long it takes.
Until they fall out.
And Kate, to get you interested, I'm going to turn it into a competition. The first person's bra pad to fall to the floor wins something. Are you in?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
You know I love a competition.
I knew you'd be in. Right. Okay. Let's crack on with letter number two. This one is called piano practice. This is from Lizzie in Bedfordshire. Dear Jenny and Kate, my daughter will be sitting her GCSEs this year, and so far, so good. No meltdowns as yet. If only the same could be said of her mum. I suffer and have always suffered from uncontrollable PMT, and the story in question occurred at very much the wrong time of the month. My daughter, let's call her Jasmine, is doing music GCSE and needs to learn a piece of music to play on the piano. The beauty of this is that they have to submit a recording of themselves playing the piece and therefore can record it as many times as they like until they nail it. Absolutely no reason then for her not to get full marks. The other day, in an attempt to seem supportive, I asked Jasmine to play the piece for me. But 30 seconds into the recital, and I wish to God I hadn't. Sorry, I know this feeling.
I do as well. Of my two elder children played the piano. Yeah.
It started well, with the first few bars sounding pretty impressive, but rapidly descended into something that wouldn't have been out of place on the Les Dawson show. Google it. We don't need to Google that, Kate. We're the right age. We're the right age for that one. As I sat listening to her stumble her way through the piece, I was getting more and more cross. It was like me against the hormones, as I told myself over and over again in my head not to say anything mean. I decided that once she'd finished, I would show her the same piece being played on YouTube so we could both hear how it sounds in the hands of a professional.
No.
it's going wrong already, isn't it? When the performance was finally over, she looked over her shoulder waiting for a response. Don't say anything, I told myself. Be supportive, I said like a mantra in my head as I struggled for something to say. Not bad, I said, fumbling for my phone. I know. Why don't we listen to the piece being played on YouTube? You're really good at picking things up by ear, so this might help you with the bits you're struggling with. She looked sad and disappointed all in one go.
Aww.
Like she was expecting me to be critical, which I'm sure she was. I hit play.
Oh, I hit play. That's the thing, because at that moment, she surely knew that the best thing to do was not to hit play, but she couldn't stop herself.
Oh, no, I love it. She's good at the daughter's just played the piece, looks around to mum for a bit of like, what do you think? And now mum's going to play the piece played by an expert on YouTube instead. Here we go. I hit play. As we both sat there listening to a piece of music that only had a passing resemblance to the one I'd been subjected to, at a speed that only someone on actual speed was capable of playing, I felt the rage build up in my stomach. Why hadn't she practiced enough? Why didn't it sound like that? When the piece was over, she looked at me and said, "That's what I played." This act of denial was the last straw, and I finally let rip on how her piece sounded nothing like that at all, and that she needed to start taking her piano seriously. The whole sorry episode came to an end with me storming out of the room and screaming, "Do your fucking piano practice!"
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. I calmed down a few minutes later, burst into tears, and went back in to apologise. She was really good about it. I'm embarrassed to say it wasn't the first time something like that had happened, and this wasn't the first time she'd heard me apologise for my hormonal outbursts. I just hope she doesn't hold it against me. And that's from Lizzie in Bedfordshire. Lizzie, I'll just tell you now, she won't hold it against you, because this is quite similar to the story that I shared in the very first episode when I went mental at my son because he didn't tell me what he had for dinner apart from chicken wings. And I wanted to know what else he had with the chicken wings. And I went just like this, absolutely mental, ended up crying. In fact, it could be the exact same story. And my son eventually, when I asked him about it, said he couldn't really remember it. So I'm really hoping the same will happen for you and your daughter, Jasmine.
Oh, I've been in that same situation before, pretty
much. Have you?
Yeah. I mean, both of my children, as I say, do practice the piano, and I've been in there to listen to them. Oh my gosh, you know, really, why are we doing this?
Because the piano lessons are quite expensive, aren't they?
Years of forking out for piano lessons, and you know, really? And it's so true what Lizzie says about how the first few bars are always really great, and you so you get all hope, you're like, oh my god, this is brilliant,
because that's all
it's all paying off, and then all of a sudden it goes like horribly wrong.
It's because whenever they sit down to practice, they always practice
those first few bars and then give up,
don't they? And then they're bored and they're on their phones sort of not doing anything, and then like, oh, I'm gonna play the rest of it.
I do, my heart always like sinks a little bit when I'm asked to go and listen. It's particularly my son who will say, mum, can you listen to me playing the piano now? Okay. And then I know with my head that I need to show an interest in the feign interest, but I just know that it's gonna wind me up a little bit.
Oh no. Because if they're working towards grades, and this girl is working towards her GCSE, so it's not even just the piano grades that they do, which would also probably got me wound up just for the grades, but if it was for an actual GCSE, that's kind of on a different level, isn't it? So the pressure is there.
And I get it as well, what Lizzie's saying about how, because it, and again, both my children have either done music GCSE or are doing GCSE, and you do think, oh well, gosh, this is a gift. I mean, yeah. There was what? You're able to record what you're doing and to record it as many times as you like until you get it perfect. Well, there is absolutely no excuse for not getting full marks.
Yeah.
You just need to work. You just need to practice.
So even under those circumstances, the fact that that piece wasn't perfect would be winding her up, because you're like, you know, come on, this could be the difference between a... Yeah. An A or an A star, whatever it is these days, nines and eights, and you know, GCSEs.
I'm feeling a bit annoyed with you, Lizzie, actually, yeah. I have to say. Yeah, I love that bit of the letter when they've been listening to the actual one, like as if it's been played so fast. And then when the piece was over, she looked at me and said, "That's what I played." It's like.
The denial.
Oh, you know, because poor daughter, poor Jasmine.
I know.
She heard, but she's hearing something different.
I'm assuming, because I'm on the mum's side here, I'm assuming that piece didn't sound anything like it. I believe Lizzie, yeah. Right? But so the denial of the teenager to just turn around and say, yeah, that's what I played. that's why she flipped, isn't it?
Totally.
Oh, brilliant letter. Thank you so much. That was excellent.
I hope the GCSE goes well.
Yeah, let's know.
Minute, guys.
Let us know she actually got the full marks in the end.
Letter number three comes to us from, have we got a name? From Terry in Clapham. And this one's entitled Leukemia. Dear Jenny and Kate, the menopause is well and truly underway for me, with all the classic symptoms hitting me like a ton of bricks. Sweating buckets, check. Hot flushes, check. Sleepless nights, check. Paranoia, check. Paranoia and anxiety have been my biggest symptoms. And just like your letter writer last week who thought her son was dealing drugs, I've been letting my imagination run away with me also. I think that letter was a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it now?
Oh yeah, the woman who assumed her teenage son was dealing drugs because he was standing outside a corner shop for about an hour sometimes. Yeah.
My youngest child emerged from the shower a few months ago with a bruise on his arm. He's your typical active 10-year-old boy. Bruises are pretty much par for the course, so really there was nothing about this that should have rung any alarm bells. But the hormonal paranoia was well and truly underway, and I remembered somewhere at the back of my mind watching a programme whereby a child with bruises on their body actually had leukemia.
Oh no.
There was nothing else for it. My son obviously had leukemia too.
Oh dear.
I then set about interrogating my son as though I was Superintendent Ted Hastings in Line of Duty.
Ah, oh, that's funny.
Where did you get that bruise? I don't know. Playing football, I think. Okay, but where were you playing football? At school. And what exactly happened? I fell. Right. And how did you fall?
Oh, no.
It went on and on and on. And all I was thinking was, that poor child thinks he just fell over playing football when actually he's got leukemia. I am bonkers.
Oh, this poor, poor woman.
Oh, dear. When I told my husband, he gave me a look that basically said, you've lost your mind. Oh dear. I mentioned it to a friend too. She's a few years older than me and has been on HRT for quite a while. And she just said, why didn't you go and speak to your doctor?
She knew.
She knew. I did. The GP confirmed I was perimenopausal and now I've been on HRT for a while, which has helped me out no end. I had no idea that this kind of paranoia and anxiety had anything to do with hormones or the menopause. Thankfully, I had friends going through it and they were able to steer me in the right direction. There is still such a long way to go before women are fully educated about what's going to happen to them. The more we keep talking, the better it is going to be for all of us.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's really why you wanted to start this podcast, isn't it, Jenny?
It's the only reason, exactly, because I was that person, a bit like our writer here. What was her name? Sorry.
Terry.
Where, you know, I wasn't aware of the symptoms that were going to happen to me. So, you know, I started having all these panicky sort of feelings that something really dreadful was wrong with me. But if I'd known about it and if I'd been prepared for those symptoms, I would have put two and two together a lot quicker. And I think similar things happening here, but at least she's got the friends that are talking about it, because we do talk about it now. Thankfully, our generation are talking about the menopause, and they obviously have been able to steer her in the right direction, like she says. But there's still many, many, many women out there who still don't know the full effects of what the hormone's going to do to them.
Mm. And many men as well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, everybody, you're everybody. Right. Everybody, we keep saying that, don't we? Everybody needs to know. Like the letter writer, was it last week or the week before, of the mummy's hormones? You know, that was last week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Where this woman's, you know, her 6-year-old daughter is saying, oh, it's mummy's hormones. But that's great because she's talking to her daughter constantly about her hormones. We need to keep that conversation going.
Did you suffer with anxiety in this sort of way, Jenny?
No, I've never actually had the anxiety, thank goodness. But so, so many people, women that I've spoken to have. It's such a big one. I suppose maybe I had the anxiety in the form of when I had the rage, you know, the rage that used to come over me. I suppose that in turn gave me the anxiety. But I've never had this kind of experience that this lady's had, you know, where I convinced myself, you know, that my child had leukemia, or the woman before about the drug dealing. I've never had that, which I think must be terrifying, because that poor woman genuinely did think her child had leukemia, and what an absolutely terrifying thing to have felt, all because of her hormones. It's crazy. So our last letter this week is called Band. And this comes from, oh, okay. So she says this. She said, you can call me Daenerys Targaryen, famous for losing her cool and exacting a disproportionate amount of rage. I love it.
Gracious.
So before we even read the letter, she's sort of setting us up for what's to come.
Excellent.
Love it. Okay, Daenerys, here we go. Dear Jenny and Kate, I had totally spaced out on refilling my HRT. Menopause has also exacerbated my ADHD. So by the time I got my prescription, I was on the edge. Off I went to the pharmacy, only to discover they had zero stock. Thanks, Brexit.
Oh.
Ugh, so many women I know that haven't been able to get their prescriptions. It's so annoying. Now, the pharmacy staff were not particularly sympathetic. And the fact that she was about 23 and clearly oozing estrogen did not help. My hair trigger was tripped and I expressed my feelings in an emotional outburst and stormed out. No one gets in the way of her and her HRT. Returning home empty-handed and in floods of tears and snotters, my husband, outraged and likely equally distraught at my lack of HRT, went back to the pharmacy to retrieve the prescription I'd left behind during my dramatic exit, give them a piece of his mind, and scan every other pharmacy for my drugs.
Wow.
What a good husband.
Yes.
He knows how important the HRT is, right? That's a man on a mission right there. He returned triumphant with the HRT, but quizzed me again on the altercation in the pharmacy. He heard from them that I'd given the pharmacy staff an unscheduled masterclass in inventive language, earning me a lifetime ban.
No.
I reluctantly admitted that my complaint may have included one or two expletives. Thankfully, there's no sound on the CCTV footage.
Actually, a lifetime ban. That's impressive.
That is
Daenerys. Wow.
I'd do anything to see the CCTV footage, even without the the sound. But do you know what? I don't blame her for getting cross about that. HRT is an absolute lifesaver for so many women. And the fact they keep running out of stock is inexcusable.
Absolutely. Daenerys, I mean, it's a good thing you didn't have any dragons with you.
We should probably say, for those who haven't seen Game of Thrones, the name she's given herself is Daenerys Targaryen, who is the... Oh, go on.
Mother Kate. Of Dragons.
Mother of Dragons, that's right. The Mother of Dragons.
Thank you so much, Daenerys, for that brilliant letter. It sounds like you've got a good husband there. And I hope that your HRT is always...
Always there.
Always there for you.
I might write a love... Actually, I might do this for next week. I might write a love letter to HRT.
Oh, that's a brilliant idea.
Shall I?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you can help me because you're good at poems. You're good at lyrics. Let's write an ode to HRT to the tune of Never Gonna Give You Up and Never Gonna Let You Down. Actually, that's a good one, isn't it? Never Gonna Give You Up. No.
Do you think we're going to do it? Yeah, no, I think that's great.
Okay. Okay. So this letter is called Toilet Door. And this comes from Wendy in Bounds Green.
Oh,
who else lives in Bounds Green?
That's where we live.
Yes, yeah. It's us. Okay, but it's not from us. Just saying, it's definitely Wendy. Not from us. Okay, this is called Toilet Door. Dear Jenny and Kate, I'm so scatty and forgetful, it's untrue. I've forgotten meetings at my daughter's school, spa days with friends, lunch dates with family, you name it, I've not been there. The other day, I met someone for a coffee and excused myself to go to the loo. It was a few days before I was going on holiday. So while I was in there with my knickers around my ankles, I thought I'd check to see if I needed a bikini wax. Leaning back on the toilet seat, legs spread, I had a good look down there to assess the damage. It was at this very moment, with my fingers prodding around my pubis. It was at this very moment, with my fingers prodding around my pubis, that the door swung open and in walked the young male waiter.
No.
I'd forgotten to lock the door. He was mortified, stuttered his apologies and rushed out. We then spent the next half an hour avoiding each other's gaze as I finished my coffee and got the hell out of there.
I might have had to have left before having my coffee.
Now, think about it, right? So this is a local woman, and albeit an anonymous one, but a local woman. Which cafe was she in, Kate?
Shall we name the names? She's in Corto.
I think she's in Corto. So Corto, guys, for those who don't know, is the cafe where they film Motherland. So if you see all those mothers in Motherland sitting around having drinking coffee, that is Corto, and that is right near where we live. And it's got to be in there. It's got to be in there. It's a unisex toilet for starters, which would explain the guy coming in, wouldn't it? I've decided it's Corto. Let's go down and see if we can find that waiter, get his version.
That's fantastic. It makes me think again, there's so many stories, aren't there, on this podcast. It's so lovely to share, because this is making me think of the story that we had a long while ago now, where somebody had gone to get a bikini wax done, and then she was sort of lying there all with her legs spread, and then in walked one of her students, because she was a teacher, to do the bikini wax, and she was completely mortified. Okay, but I think this is worse. I think this one, having the waiter walk in on her, and she was like sitting on the loo. It was worse
I love the fact that she said that she's leaning back on the door. So she'd really kind of got herself in a good position, hadn't she? I'm just demonstrating now for Kate. My trousers are on.
Actually, yeah, don't worry.
But just imagine, so leaning back like that. And then she'd just be like that, wouldn't she? Pulling, you know, prodding around, pulling, just to see how long the hairs are.
Don't worry, guys. This is Jenny's not showing me too much.
Yeah, don't worry. Although I do need a wax, Kate, just saying.
Okay.
You wouldn't want to see. Do you want to see?
No! I love you, Jenny, very much.
Okay, on that note then, I'm going to say goodbye. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Don't forget, you can write to us. Please write to us. So you can write to us at the email address is dearhormones@yahoo.com. And Kate, they can get in touch with us on Instagram, can't they?
They can. They can message us on Instagram @dearhormones.
Please, please get in touch. Don't forget, if you've been featured on this show, you're going to be getting a badge. We'll be getting those sent out very soon. And I hope everyone's well. And I don't know why I've just said that, but I hope you are.
Have a good week.
Have a good week. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Dear Hormones with Jenny Smith and Kate Bouse. If you've got a story to share, email the girls at dearhormones@yahoo.com or their @dearhormones on Instagram. Until next time...